This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 286, for the weekend of March 17th through March 19th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, this podcast where we talk about movies, TV, and other forms of entertainment that Art and I may or may not have done this week. So, anyways, Art, how are you?
I am doing well.
All right. Well. I know, that's a lot of deep subjects there. Okay. Let's start off the show by talking about what happened last weekend. More specifically, what happened at the box office last weekend. So, thanks to boxofficemojo.com, we are going to, or I'm going to read what the box office results were for the weekend of March 10th through March 12th. So, at number one, we have Kong: Skull Island at $61 million. At number two, in its second week of release, we have Logan at $38.1 million. At number three, we have Get Out in its third week of release with $20.7 million. At number four, in its second week of release, The Shack at $10 million. At number five, we have the Lego Batman movie in its fifth week of release with $7.6 million. Mm-hmm. And there's your top five.
That's funny. Everything stayed in the same spot, just shifted one down.
Well,
so not a lot of movement.
When you have a giant ape, that tends to happen. So as far as average, we have 15,867 per screen for Kong. They're reporting a budget of $185 million.
That's a little soft, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. Probably. I don't think there was a great word of mouth with this movie.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere for me.
Yeah. Yeah. The two things to mention, I guess, since Get Out went over $100 million, I guess this is a first for an African-American writer-director to have a movie that made over $100 million.
Really?
So congratulations to Mr. Jordan Peele. And the second thing comes from, I think, an ex-employee of Box Office Mojo, a Mr. Ray Subers, from his Twitter account, says that nine movies have earned $100 million domestic so far this calendar year in 2017. So we have Hidden Figures, Lego Batman Movie, Logan, Split, Rogue One, La La Land, Sing, 50 Shades Darker, and Get Out. He said the previous high we've had at this point in the year is five. So, smaller movies, even though Rogue One's not a smaller movie, they're doing pretty well. And eight of those nine titles are fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, with the exception of 50 Shades Darker, which is 9%. If you exclude 50 Shades Darker, the average is 88%. Nice. So go Hollywood.
Yeah.
All right. So let's close the book on last week's box office, and let's move on over to what's happening this weekend. So, Art, why don't you tell us about a little movie that's coming out at the theater this weekend?
Yeah, okay. We are going to talk about Beauty and the Beast. Rated 67% fresh on the tomato meter, 150 reviews counted, 101 fresh, 49 rotten. 98% want to see it out of 49,000 people. Disney's Beauty and the Beast is a live-action retelling of the studio's animated classic, which refashions the classic characters from the tale as old as time for a contemporary audience. Staying true to the original music while updating the score with several new songs, Beauty and the Beast is the fantastic journey of Belle, a bright and beautiful and independent young woman who is taken prisoner by a beast in his castle. Despite her fears, she befriends the castle's enchanted staff and learns to look beyond the beast's hideous exterior and realize the kind heart and soul of the true prince within. We have Emma Watson, Dan Stevens, Luke Evans, Ewan McGregor, Josh Gad, Kevin Kline, Stanley Tucci, Ian McKellen, Emma Thompson. This is a pretty all-star cast here. Well, considering a lot of this is voice work. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was letting you continue.
Okay.
I would agree, but finish the description and then I have a question for you.
No, I'm not pulling up anything else on the description.
Okay. No. Is that it? You want to talk about rating or anything else?
No, I already covered everything.
Okay. All right. So, how do you feel about Emma Thompson as Mrs. Potts? I don't know. To me, it's kind of sacrilege replacing Angela Lansbury. I know they have to do it for, you know, this is a remake and all that, but that's the one that I'll.
This is a step too far for you.
Yeah, it's a step too far for me.
I really didn't even. I don't know. I heard her in the show, and in the trailer, it really didn't bother me. I really didn't even think about it. But I'm not so hung up on Beauty and the Beast. It was never a big, huge one for me. There's actually we actually picked up. There is some other Beauty and the Beast live action movie. Let me see if I can. I meant to look it up and I completely forgot. But saw it at Target for like $12. I'm like, this could be interesting. I'm sure it's going to be complete and utter crap. But it caught my eye. We haven't actually watched it yet. We just bought it last night. But it was just funny that there's somebody else trying to cash in on Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, if I was going to cast Gaston, I don't know if Luke Evans would have been my choice, but some critics have said that he's the best part of the movie. So we'll see. If you don't know who I'm talking about, all I can really say is he's the actor that played Bard in the second and third Hobbit movies.
Yeah, no, I think he has the look.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, at 67%, reviews can be a little on the splitty side. Liz Braun from the Toronto Sun says, Beauty and the Beast is energetic and hugely entertaining, both for children and the adults who accompany them. And the, I don't know how many critics they have in Toronto, but the other Toronto critic, Peter Howell from the Toronto Star, Bill Condon's enchanting live-action adaptation of Disney's Beauty and the Beast is designed to make believers of skeptics, even those who think the 1991 animated version can't be topped. More on the negative side, very little is new apart from some superfluous backstories and the occasional household object, but everything old feels empty and dull. And that's from Andrew Lappin from NPR.
Ouch.
Yeah. Nell Minow from BeliefNet, also known as Movie Mom. Every bit as enchanting as we could hope, gently updating and expanding the story to give the characters more depth and appeal and filling it with movie magic. And I have to include one pun review. Christopher Lawrence from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Had this been Disney's first crack of the material, I would have been floored. But in comparison to the original, well, it's just my chipped cup of tea. So when are you and your wife going to see this? And daughter, probably.
Probably this weekend. Like I said, I got the next 5 days off, so it's the perfect opportunity. So I looked this up. It was released in 2016. It looks like it might be a French movie. Hopefully it's not actually in French. We'll see. But it's Beauty and the Beast, and it has a subtitle of La Belle et la Bête. And it is 33% rotten on the tomato meter. 50% liked it out of 3,625 users. So, and I recognize zero names from the cast list.
Yeah.
So I will be reporting on. Happen. Hopefully I will report on both of these movies next week.
Okay. All right. So let's end our look at what's coming out in theaters this weekend. And so now let's move on over to a share time where Art and myself talk about what we've been doing the past week. So Art, what have you been up to?
Okay. I have continued to watch Flash. I did not finish. I think I'm on like episode 17. So I have like 5 episodes to go, in season 2. Oh, This is now bring that up later. We bought Moana. I rewatched that. Actually, Brittany actually watched it for the first time because she didn't go with us when we went to see it. And she really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it again. Her comment on it was, it was nice to see an entire movie focused on another culture. And it was an interesting perspective to take on it. I really didn't think about it like that. We got to talking about, Polynesian culture and Hawaii, because she thought immediately it's Hawaii. I'm like, no, not really. It's a mix of a lot of the Pacific Rim kind of belief system and stuff. So, but enjoyed that. Finished watching Paddington. It was okay. It sparked a bit of nostalgia for, watching the old stop motion Paddington shows from back in the day. But it wasn't great. It was just good. If you're interested in Paddington, it's worth checking out. If you're not, it's easy enough to avoid. I watched something else and I didn't write it down and I'm blanking. So I'm going to wrap it up there. It was pretty slow week. Oh, I know what I did do. I went out and we listened to Tad's voicemail. He talked about, watching Magnificent Seven and just kind of being, meh about the whole thing. But I was out at Walmart and they had a 2-disc DVD set with the Magnificent Seven and Silverado on it for like $12. I'm like, I want to see it, even, with the middling review that he gave it. I'm in the same boat as him. I really like Westerns. Just always have. It just really, so even if it's just okay, I'm sure I'll still get something out of it. So I haven't watched it yet, but I bought it, so it is in the queue. And that is my share time.
All right. Speaking of slow week, I really didn't watch anything movie related. But I did remember a movie I neglected to talk about last time. Mm. Don't ask me why, but considering it just dropped on Netflix when I watched it, I gave Sausage Party a go.
Oh, is that on? Okay.
I guess I was morbidly curious.
I kind of am too. Especially now that it's on Netflix. I mean.
Well, okay. The thing. Because I kind of heard in the, kind of behind the scenes, kind of like how it was with Hot Tub Time Machine, mm-hmm. that this was maybe made on a dare, or if there weren't a couple of stars kind of backing this one, or pitching this one, maybe this doesn't get made. But it's basically Toy Story made by the South Park / Family Guy generation. Mm-hmm. It definitely goes to 11 at parts on the raunch factor kind of thing. There were a couple points in the movie I was like, why am I watching this? Should I be fast forwarding this? There were some good lines. Even though, no pun intended, most of the punchlines were low-hanging fruit kind of thing. Can I recommend this? I don't know. Depends how well I know the person. I mean, that's like the voice cast they got. I mean, there were a lot of them. A lot of them were kind of in the people that have worked with Adam Sandler. So, like, they got Salma Hayek. Who played? She was Teresa the Taco. Bill Hader was Firewater. I don't know. It started out as a cute idea, just because you have the class system that you'd think you'd have with all the food and condiments and all the other stuff that you'd find in a grocery store. But yeah, it's just completely silly. Also had Edward Norton, Paul Rudd. It's I definitely felt a little dirty after watching it. But I do have to say that I enjoyed it on some level. Other than that, I watched one more episode of Killjoys. Hasn't really changed my opinion of the show. I'm still liking it. They're starting to lay some seeds for things that are going to get revealed later. So that was definitely a show I'm going to keep on watching. As far as games, the family demanded to play some more Fuji Flash, so we're still going through that.
Okay.
We finally finished our Curse of Strahd game. And it was a lot of fun, but I'm looking forward to actually reading the book because the DM has admitted that he made up about 70% of it. and I think some of it he kind of just gave up at certain points of the game because he just wanted – this is the first campaign he's ever finished.
Okay.
Because we all – there was a point where we were supposed to get to level 10 as a party because, they suggest you're level 10 when you finally fight Mr. Strahd.
Right.
And we had a very tense and very – I didn't have any hope that we were going to win, but we ended up winning. Probably the fight could have went on a little longer, but he just decided that he wasn't going to, because Strahd has these legendary saves where he gets to choose to make a saving throw. He doesn't have to roll. And I think he had one left. Mm. But it was still a lot of fun. Not my cup of tea as far as it trying to kind of be a hybrid between D&D and Call of Cthulhu, where, it's supposed to be very scary and it's supposed to be, kind of test your sanity kind of thing. But it was definitely a good time, and everyone's excited to get back to Slipstream in Savage World, which is I take as a compliment because that's my game. So good. One movie and a couple games. Oh, and Killjoys. So that's gonna do it for my share time. So we ran a little short on that. So Art, what do you have for news?
Okay. Well, while you were talking, you did remind me of a couple other things I want to jump back to. I just started a new podcast called The Other Cast, and it's by Tracy Barnett, I believe. And he is running Star Wars Fantasy Flight Edition. And he's about four episodes in. And I'm really enjoying that. Good group of guys. They're having fun playing. They're playing fast and loose with the rules, which I totally appreciate, to tell a better story. And the other thing is I saw in a tweet that they had The Expanse on sale at Amazon. So I picked up The Expanse Book 1 for, $3. And then Stu over on Happy Jacks had mentioned that he had been buying some books, and that you can, if you buy the book on Amazon, a lot of times you can add the Audible book for just a few dollars more. And I think it was another $3 to add on the Audible of The Expanse. So I will be digging into The Expanse here in the near future.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the two things I remembered, and now on to news. So big news, I thought the first thing that really caught my eye was that Aquaman's release date is getting pushed back 2 months, and I'm very disappointed, because, I don't know, it's already far enough out in that, it's all the way towards the tail end of 2018, and now it's really, really, they're talking about a December 21st, 2018 release date. So we'll see. Going to hopefully build more anticipation. We'll see how
what's going on with Cameron. how long has it been since the first Avatar?
Yeah.
And now they're pushing back Avatar. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. What's going on. It really wasn't going to be a news story, but, it's just the DC, it seems like they just can't get out of their own way right now.
Yeah.
The rumors are that they're completely rewriting Batman.
Yeah.
Affleck is says he just completed rehab. So I don't know if you count that as method acting for Batman. Who knows? But yeah, it's just, and you know, we were talking about pre-show about, you know, Wonder Woman's going to be here in a couple months.
Right. But didn't you say it got moved? Did it get, which day did it get moved? Up or back?
What are we talking about?
Wonder Woman.
I don't think it got moved.
Oh, okay.
I was just commenting that it's, you know, it's here already. Kind of like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is in, yeah, in May, which is, right, you know, 6 weeks away.
Right, right. Kind no, I know. I, you know, Netflix has started putting Iron Fist, a little tab right at the top says Iron Fist coming March 17th, which is tomorrow. So,
well, technically for you, 10 minutes.
We'll see. Yeah. Didn't we have this conversation before? I'm pretty sure Netflix is on the West Coast.
Oh, okay.
Because well, it did not drop immediately last time. Because it'll be the last time. We'll see what happens.
Well, hold on. I'm going to see you right now. Nope. Just says trailer. Season 1 coming March 17th.
Right.
All right.
So it's just definitely,
means, wait, just means we need to talk for another 2 hours.
Right. But if you have not the 17th here, it's definitely not the 17th there, Jeff. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's the 17th somewhere. Come on.
Well, that's true.
Come on. A little customer service oriented people. All right. Keeping on the Disney thing. This one kind of warmed my heart a little bit. Taika Waititi. Remember who that is?
That sounds familiar. I'm not placing it.
The director of Thor: Ragnarok.
Okay.
That's coming November.
Okay.
He says, new Thor influenced by Little China. And he's speaking of Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh.
And so he's not really saying that the structure, the subject matter is really that close to it. I mean, because this isn't his quote. It's not really a comedy. There are some really great moments we're going to have in the film. Knowing that it was Bruce Banner and Thor on kind of a road trip journey that lends itself to a tone because those guys are both really funny. I was like, you got to exploit Chris's comic abilities. Big Trouble Little China was one of those films where Jack Burton is a buffoon, but he's lovable and you're with him the entire way. I thought Thor has got to be the one you want to be with in every scene. So, I mean, even if it's just a little bit, I mean, that'll be awesome. And then I was looking at our favorite news site, Dark Horizons, and I came across one and I felt like kind of like a mini panic attack. Did I miss the premiere? Because the title of the article is Disney XD renews Big Hero 6, the series.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, so did it show yet? And it says Disney XD is given a second season order ahead of the show's premiere in the fall. So nice. Everybody can relax. It's coming out this fall. All right.
I'm like, I've been watching a lot of XD. I have not seen anything Hero 6.
Supposedly, it's going to have all the cast from the movie except for Damon Wayans Jr. and T.J. Miller.
Okay.
Which, you know, admittedly are supporting characters. So, anyways.
Yeah, like T.J. Miller's got something better to do. Come on.
Actually, he does. Okay. Anyways.
It's
TV movies. TV movie. Okay.
Voice work. He can do it in his underwear. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
Careful
what you wish for. But go ahead.
Hold on 1 second. Yes. Is the house on fire?
No.
Okay.
Then this room would have been on fire.
Great. But it's not an emergency.
No.
Okay. What do you need?
I just wanted to ask you something.
Sure. Make it quick. I'm right in the middle. You're getting recorded right now.
I was going to tell you, you just keep talking.
Okay.
Dad, can I, build my very own fort right after you're done podcasting?
Sure, we'll build a fort.
And she's out.
Okay. Where were we?
We were talking about Thor Ragnarok.
Yep. Nope. Completely lost my train of thought.
All right.
So, next story. I'll re-listen to this when it airs, and then I'll figure it all out. I'm like, Oh, that's where I was going. And then I'll make a note, and maybe we'll talk about it.
Well, good, because I won't listen to it while I'm editing. Go ahead.
I love the sound of my own voice, so I have to listen.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So...
Oh, no, we're talking about Big Hero 6, and T.J. Miller doesn't have anything better to do.
Right. That's exactly where we were. And since we were talking about Disney, I remembered something else that I watched. The new Tangled cartoon was actually pretty good. So that's another thing I watched. So that's new on Disney. It just released, like, I think last Friday. I don't know. But it was decent. Okay, back to news, though. This caught my eye. Venom movie announced today out of nowhere, and they already have a director. So Sony has jumped on the opportunity to release a standalone Venom film during Aquaman's old October release slot. So they saw an opportunity and they jumped on it.
These are always the best ideas. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Okay.
Have a window. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's an opportunity. Let's get in it. All right. The movie will be directed by Alex Kurtzman, who wrote The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and he's directing The Mummy reboot. So we'll see how that goes. I saw The Mummy reboot is with Tom Cruise, so I'm not exactly excited about that. I don't know where that's going, but I don't know. I see an opportunity if they can do with Venom, try and do with Venom what they did with Deadpool. I think that's the opportunity they're seeing to kind of follow up that. And I think there is an opportunity there. Because Venom kind of lives in that same kind of space. So we'll see where it goes. But that's, you know, more than a year and a half out. Almost 2 years out. No, October, year and a half. So, I don't know. I'm mildly interested. I'll have to see more.
Yeah, it's from Sony. I don't know.
I've
never been a big Venom
okay,
person yet, either way.
Right, no, me neither. But if they can get the right collaboration going, you know, they've kind of loosened things up when working with Spider-Man, and look at the direction Spider-Man's going now. You know, yeah. If they can work some of that magic, maybe this could go somewhere good.
Yeah. All right. What do I have next? Speaking of Disney, there's a story about Robin Williams and Aladdin. And so Robin ended up taking a huge pay cut to be in Aladdin because he wanted to leave something wonderful behind for his kids. So it says here they ended up recording about 30 hours of written improvised dialogue that I'm sure is somewhere.
Right.
And then they paid him $75,000, which is way south of his usual $8 million fee to be in a movie.
Wow.
But he's told them, I'll do it if you don't use my voice to sell stuff. It's the one thing I don't do.
Right.
He said, we had a deal. The one thing I said I will do is the voice. I'm doing it basically because I want to be part of this animation tradition. I want something for my children. One deal is I just don't want to sell anything, as in Burger King, as in toys, as in stuff. And then all of a sudden, they released an advertisement. One part was the movie. The second part was where they used the movie to sell stuff. Not only did they use my voice, they took a character I did and overdubbed it to sell stuff. That was the one thing where they crossed the line. Disney initially defended William using his voice when he agreed to the deal. And then when the movie turned out to be a big hit, he didn't like the deal he had made, is what they said. But the studio quickly changed its tune and sent the actor an apology in the form of a Pablo Picasso painting estimated at the time to be worth $1 million. And for the art nerds, the painting was a self-portrait of the artist as Vincent van Gogh, which apparently really clashed with the Williams wilder home decor. Ultimately, Disney and Williams made up, later making a third Aladdin sequel because he sat the second one out. And then he made 1996's Jack and Bicentennial Man in 1999. But his friend Eric Idle, you know, from Monty Python.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He said that William should go on TV and burn it live as a form of protest. But that never happened. I just thought it was a funny story. All right.
Yeah, eventually, you know, if he waits long enough, well, at this point, no, but at the time, you wait long enough, maybe you'll actually get your $8 million out of it, you know, reselling it, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, I don't know. I look at that and I'm like, yeah, you gave me $1 million painting, you stole me seven, you know, if you want it fully to pay me for the work that I did.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So, Writer's room planned for Matrix reboot. So they're talking about a Matrix reboot. I don't know where Warner Brothers is going with this, but I think it sounds like a bad idea. That the Matrix, the first Matrix, really was lightning in a bottle. They're never getting that back. And I don't even know what they could, I don't see how it could work. But it's still in the early stages of development. The only actors so far rumored for the project is Michael B. Jordan. He is just popping up everywhere. So we'll see where this goes. This is a very early report, but I am not optimistic.
No, me neither. Me neither. I'm part of the greatness of the Matrix was the a kind of forged ahead with new special effects of bullet time and that kind of thing.
Right.
Which I don't know if they're gonna be able to do that. I don't know. It just seems like technology has changed that they probably have to update the Matrix along with that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we can't come up with anything original, so we got to remake The Matrix, just like we had to remake Beauty and the Beast. All right. Something happy. You know that a new show is coming to Netflix tomorrow.
Yep.
All right. Well, by the time that you hear this, another great series will be showing old episodes on Netflix. Says here from the article, when Netflix revives a beloved TV series, it doesn't always provide the primary evidence for why that show was beloved in the first place. Gilmore Girls' popularity on the platform was a contributing factor in Netflix ordering Gilmore Girls A Year in the Life, but Fuller House was not preceded by the acquisition of the preceding 192 half hours in the life of the Tanners, probably due to the fact that Full House was not and should not be beloved. It once seemed like Netflix's upcoming Mystery Science Theater 3000 reboot would suffer a similar fate, but not anymore. As of right now, classic experiments like Manos, The Hands of Fate, Laser Blast, and Space Mutiny will be available to stream for Netflix subscribers. So here's the full list of episodes coming to Netflix. And season 11 debuts Friday, April 14th. So we got to wait a month for new episodes. So the movies are Catalina Caper, Iga, Future War, The Giant Gila Monster, Hercules Against the Moon Men, Horrors of Spider Island, I Accuse My Parents, Jack Frost, Laser Blast, Manos, Hands of Fate, Merlin, Shop of Mystical Wonders, Pod People, Puma Man, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, Sidehackers, Space Mutiny, Teenagers from Outer Space, Time Chasers, Werewolf, and Zombie Nightmare.
Wow.
So now you know. All right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay. So I know we mentioned this at one point, but Chris Nolan's World War II epic Dunkirk is getting a PG-13 rating.
Click, that was my last one. Good.
Ah, okay.
So old habits die hard, I guess.
Yes, yes. It wouldn't be a show without one. So I think it's interesting that war movie, it's getting a PG-13 rating. So it says, while there was never any indication that Nolan was aiming for an R-rating Nolan production, and he hasn't made an R-rated film since 2002, Insomnia, the lack of one for a serious war film of this type is unexpected. Are you familiar with the Battle of Dunkirk?
No.
Okay,
I'm very familiar with Mr. Nolan, so I will be seeing it.
I'm sure. Dunkirk was actually a major retreat action. It was holding off some forces to get the major, I think it was the British invasionary force, pulled back to regroup and not be decimated. So it's a very interesting story. There were a lot of things that that conspired in their favor to allow this to be a success. Dan Carlin talks about it extensively at different parts in a lot of his history talks. So I think this could be really interesting.
You're talking hardcore history, Dan Carlin.
Hardcore history, Dan Carlin. Okay. Yes, that one.
Okay. Right.
I'm also interested in this as well, also being a Nolan fan. What do you have anything to add, being as it was one of your tabs?
No.
Okay.
No, you basically covered everything I was gonna talk about, but I found something else while you were talking.
Okay. So why don't you hit me with it, and we'll finish it up.
All right. Well, Star Wars Land at Disneyland.
Okay.
It's going to be opening in 2019.
2019? That's so far away.
I'm well, it's they want to do it the same year as Episode 9.
Okay.
Yeah, the final chapter in the current Skywalker saga is set to hit theaters. The only reason I'm bringing this up is that there are photos of the framework that there's going to be two full-size AT-ATs in Star Wars Land.
I did see that.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
They also, one of the rides is that you'll get take the controls of the Millennium Falcon on a customized secret mission. And also an epic Star Wars adventure that put guests in the middle of a climactic battle between the First Order and the Resistance. Probably a battle we haven't seen yet, so here's hoping. All right, that was my last story. What do you have? You have anything else?
Nope, we can wrap it up.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Backseat Box Office. So, everybody, thank you for listening. The website is backseatproducers.com, where you can find back episodes of this show and of the other podcast, backseatproducers.com. You can leave us a voicemail. You can comment on the shows. You can also find us on Twitter at I am at JB63, and Art is at Art Santos Jr. You can also find the Backseat Producers Facebook page, and you can like us. And even though now I say it, I don't think I've posted anything in a while, so maybe I'll have to change that. All right, worst plugging ever. Other than that, we will catch you next time. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.